Over the past couple of years, statistics from the Nome Police Department have shown that the number of publicly intoxicated people in Nome has gone up significantly. In 2015, NPD responded to 440 drunken person calls in town. 1 year later, that number was up to 928. As of June of this year, NPD has already had 402 drunken person calls, and if projections hold, they expect that number will exceed 930 by the end of the year. Also, NPD estimates that public drunkenness is annually costing the city about $27,000 without including hospitalization or incarceration costs. Public intoxication is the focus of this two-part KNOM profile series. I'm Davis Hovey. Thanks for joining me. With a growing public intoxication issue, a local task force of various entities was formed in Nome to tackle the problem and come up with solutions. In a letter the task force addressed to Nome City Council, they suggested two pieces of action. One of their requests is to have a monitored day shelter and sobering center located on Front Street. Nome's Mayor Richard Benville and I talked about something similar to a sober center that used to exist in Nome, an Alano Club. As I understand them, they are centers of sorts that are run by sober persons to support those seeking sobriety. Is that correct?
Couldn't have said it better myself. It was on Zeppelin Drive. It's now where Mai's guest house is, which was the headquarters, was the office building for Sitnasauk. Sitnasauk was very aware of the fact that, you know, what the problems that we have with alcohol in our community, and they wanted to do what they could do at the time to help. And one of the things they could do was to donate the building, which we had for, God, I had a number of years. And then an opportunity arose for them to sell it, which they chose to do, and we went back out on the streets. But an Alano Club is not AA. We still have AA meetings. You know, an AA meeting can be two people and a cup of coffee. So Alano Clubs were a step beyond just meetings because it was solely there for people who desired to be sober. It had a pool table. So people played pinochle. We had books. What they mostly did was that then you could smoke in buildings. It was like a smokehouse. And people just sit around and yakety, 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 yakety.
Benville says he went to the old Alano Club to turn his life around and get sober. He personally is in favor of having a place like that available again in Nome. Lance Johnson works with Behavioral Health Services for Norton Sound Health Corporation, and he is a member of the task force I mentioned earlier. They believe that the old museum building could be a suitable location for a combined Alano Club and day shelter.
And then perhaps the downstairs in the old museum could be used for a day shelter. You know, we have Nest who has done, those people have done wonderful things to have people who are stranded here or who are otherwise homeless for a night or more to come in, have a safe shelter, have a meal, but then it ends at 9 a.m. and then some of those same folks are going back out and don't have anywhere to go. And so why not have that be a day shelter for folks to be able to go to, regardless of participation in substance use or not, as long as they are safe? And then with the Alano Club upstairs, people who make the best counselors really are those who are in recovery when it comes to substance use. So they would have possibly some good influence with some of the folks to say, hey, why don't you come up here, leave that behind, come on upstairs, join us, and let's talk, let's hang out, let's have a good time, let's dance, whatever it might be. And we may see some of those people get involved in other resources and services too. With the day shelter, it's certainly going to need some monitoring because you will have people who may or may not be using, who are taking advantage of the shelter in a positive way. And so the thought is that we'd have a group of agencies or individuals in the community who have different resources who could go ahead and help monitor that. We're not asking the city of Nome to do so. And again, it's not very different, if at all, from the way Nest was founded and is structured now. We find a way down the road to pay monitors if it becomes a viable resource for the community, for the region, I should say. And in the meantime, we start with volunteer monitors.
If you are unfamiliar with the way the Nest shelter operates, as I am, here's Bridie Trainer, the director of Nest, to help enlighten us.
So Nest has been operating out of the Nazarene Church, renting space in the Carmen Christian Center since 2009, so for 8 years now. We started out with volunteers, but the hours were too steep for folks, and we needed a coordinator, so we became a 501c3 nonprofit in order to apply for outside funding.
And what's your capacity at Nest?
That has been changing each year. We would have said that we were full at 20, but we've been having close to 30, pretty standard this last year, and we had up to 38. So Nome has seen a big uptick, and so has the shelter and people on the streets. And a lot of that is the result of Senate Bill 91, which decriminalizes nonviolent offenses. So folks who used to be housed at the jail under Title 47 protective holds are no longer being charged or held there. So, yeah, more people on the street, in the shelter, needing police and emergency services.
And this is a seasonal operation, correct?
Yes, we're open November through April from 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. We have two staff come in at 8:30. Put down the mats, blankets, get each person their box with a sheet and pillow, set out meals. Breakfast and dinner are served in the morning. Guests do the cleaning, put things away, and then out the door by 9 a.m. So last season we served 223 individual guests, and that was close to 4,000 total bed nights. And some folks stay one night, some folks for every night we're open.
Someone who has also been involved with the Nest for many years is Sue Steinacker.
I started out as a volunteer and then as a board member, then as board president, then as co-director, and then as director. And I actually wanted to move on to get closer to the source of some of the problems and ended up moving, focusing more on housing issues, both in Nome and across the region, and how that all ties into this situation as we know it. But I think I need to back up and explain there's some other work that Nest is doing that is not as obvious as the shelter. So yes, I mean, Nest now is an evening shelter from 9 at night till 9:30 in the morning, 6 months of the year. But Nest has also sought funds to participate in a joint project with Behavioral Health Services, providing housing for formerly homeless people seeking to change their life and gain sobriety and become more independent, self-sufficient. So we've been doing that for over 3 years. And Nest also kind of spearheaded the effort to get a low-income housing tax credit project built in Nome. And so we've been focused on trying to alleviate some of the incredible need for affordable housing, even for working people who can't afford housing if they don't make it into one of the low-income houses.
Well, let's expand on that a little bit. I mean, with that added context, how would you say Nest is making a difference or impacting people's lives and the issue of public inebriation?
Nest is not a solution to alcoholism at all. It is what is considered a harm reduction process or model, where it was designed as a Band-Aid, a last resort effort to prevent people who have made bad choices from freezing to death. And in that regard, Nest has been very successful. Now, I would agree to a certain extent with those who feel that Nest is enabling people to drink. It has made it easier for people to be safer while practicing maybe not the best judgment or behaviors. But I also feel that there's a number of other things that are driving the increasing numbers that we're seeing in Nome and on Front Street. And it is not just the shelter.
We now hear from Nome Police Chief John Papasadora, who gave a presentation to the City Council last month describing the challenges that his department faces when trying to address public inebriation. He starts by mentioning Title 47, which is an Alaska statute that says, quote, "It is the policy of the state that alcoholics and intoxicated persons should not be criminally prosecuted for their consumption of alcoholic beverages, and that they should be afforded a continuum of treatment so they may lead normal lives as productive members of society," end quote. Title 47 also mandates that law enforcement must place a person who appears to be incapacitated in a public place by alcohol or drugs into protective custody. Protective custody does not constitute an arrest, as Papasadora explains.
So somebody, if they go to jail, which used to happen quite a bit, doesn't happen anymore, can only be held until a treatment facility or emergency medical service is made available. Under the old way we were doing business, which was take them to the hospital, take them out to AMCC detox, it would actually go the other way. We take them out to AMCC if there's no other place to put them. As soon as there's space at the emergency medical service, they should go to the emergency medical service. Until the person is no longer intoxicated or incapacitated by alcohol or drugs, or for a maximum period of 12 hours, whichever occurs first. As of December 15, 2015, AMCC no longer accepts 47 remands. They've taken 3 Title 47 remands since that time that were basically at risk to themselves and of others. So they had to basically be held in order to make sure that they stayed safe. AMCC won't take them, though. And even if they do take them, the policy on taking them is so restrictive that we have to jump through a lot of hoops to even get there. So a detaining officer or detention facility official may release the person detained or area of the section any time in the custody of a responsible adult. And that's what we can do, okay, is we release the person to a responsible adult. And when you say give them to a responsible adult, you come back up to most of our clients are homeless or otherwise other people don't want to take care of them. So we got this revolving door going where we're moving these people around, but it's basically going into a circle. And that circle goes from the street to the hospital, from the hospital to the street.
Thank you for tuning in to KNOM Profiles for part one of this two-part series on public intoxication in Nome and our region. Tune in tomorrow during the 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. hours to hear about potential solutions to this issue and why some people think it will take more than one action to address the rise in public intoxication. For KNOM Profiles, I'm Davis Hovey.